You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 55. And in the light of the weather, it's hard to know the weather because it's supposed to start at 7 and then 8. And then it's after 10. And it's supposed to stop at 5. It's supposed to stop at 6. It's supposed to stop at 9. What do you do? So, God knows. So, what we're going to have to do is, if it stops, that's one thing, and the plow and it'll be all done. But we don't know that. So therefore, if there's any question, call and just double check. And appreciate your being here. And we're cutting it short so that you don't have too many snowflakes to drive through. Now, so therefore, and therefore the normal message is put aside because of the snow. So therefore, keep in mind, if you would, that the snowflakes that are falling, all six-sided crystals falling from the sky. And if you were to go and take a cubit foot, that's a ruler, think of a ruler, one, two, three, ruler, a cubit foot of snow, and it would vary, of course, with different degrees of texture in that. So, but that has been counted at 20 million snowflakes in this 1 foot. And then if we go and take a big picture, a longer term, and look at it, how many snowflakes? One, it's a guess, plus 158 zeros after it. And remember, a quintillion, you don't make that much money. A quintillion is one in American, not British, 18 zeros. This is one in 158 zeros. And all the snowflakes are different. All different. We can't even comprehend. And that's the whole point. The bugs that are made, everything that is done in by God, the stars, the sand of the sea, all different. The stars, God calls them all by name. God, so there's nothing we can look at, as a bulletin will mention, that does not say about God, that he is beyond our grasp and our grip. So we have to look to God to deal with our heads and our hearts. And in the light of all of this coming down, snowflakes and that, maybe we'll just remind ourselves why the seasons, the summer, the winter, spring, fall, why the snow and sleet and rain, hoar frost, why all of that? So God, you did it to help us understand the wonderful mechanisms of keeping our planet alive and well on planet Earth, with all of it. So there's balance and moisture in the oceans and all of that. Now, so having said that, let us take a little starting point and exercise. God, we want to understand these snowflakes. So, Isaiah chapter 55, keep in mind, if you would, if I can go to, I'm going to go here at this point to verse 10. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, reason that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. In other words, it provides the produce and everything we need to eat, etc. Verse 11. as the snow falling in zillions of flakes. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's all going to fulfill everything that I intend. So as the thousands and millions and zillions and of snowflakes fall, we are reminded what? About God's word. The snow doesn't go back up. You can't say, we'll all pray real hard and have the snow after it, before we leave, have it all go back up in the air so we can go home without the snow. No, the snow has fallen to stay fallen. That's where it is. Why did it stay fallen? To profit us. If it all went back up, we wouldn't have the benefits. The ground wouldn't have it. The produce wouldn't have it. None of it would have it. It has to stay down. God's word, like the snowflakes, has fallen. Why is God's word for the stars or other planets? No. God's word is here in your hand, I hope. That's for you. It has been given for you, like the snow is given for you. So, having said that, so here's the word of God, like the snow. And it falls, and we have it, we got it in our hands. God has given it to us by way of history. So, when we go to Matthew and chapter 5, we'll do that. And we can take it step by step if it helps, so that you actually follow it and can do it all by yourself. And by the way, when it's all done, it still says the same thing. What you're going to read and think about right now is going to be what is still there next week. And God doesn't change. God doesn't change his word. It's done, it's down, it's meant to stay. It's meant to work. It's meant to outwork. Now, so therefore, Matthew chapter 5, if I can, and reminding us 100 different ways. Chapter 5, what are you going to say, Lord? Sermon on the Mount. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass on, as long as they exist, one jot or one tittle, one little mark, shall not, in the Hebrew, etc., one little mark shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Everything he says, so like you when you read verses, what are you doing? You're resting in them. You're not reading them and then talking. What do you do? You're supposed to be reading them and resting on them. That's what you do. You're resting on them. Like the pew, you're resting on it. If you don't rest on it, then what's the sense? You read why it works, and then you don't do it. And that's what people do, and we tried to remind people the other day. If you don't do that, then it isn't going to work. You can talk and do whatever you want in any way, shape, or form, and try to express your whatever. But when it's all done, all it is our thinking, our feeling, our fears, our faults, our old nature, trying to resolve life. And the only way we can lock on is to rest down on God's word. Like the snow, so his word is here now for us, and we're reading it. Now, having said that little bit, so this, all of the word of God has to be fulfilled. So, over to, you mentioned it, Job 37. And in Job 37, if I can, picking up, please. You'll catch it, the flavor of it. Elihu's saying to Job, as they had, remember back then, this is back before you had the law and Moses, and they had a real understanding without a Bible about God. That's interesting. They had a marvelous sense of God. Why is that? Because God made himself known in a very unique way to them that he can't do now, or he isn't doing it now, because that's why you've got that book. And the world didn't want to listen to him anymore. They crucified him. And God said, I'm not going to say anything more to you except the testimony of an empty tomb, a risen Savior, and whosoever's that are saved to show that I have risen again. That's all I'm going to show. That's all I'm going to say. Say something. No, I'm all done. So here we have his word, Job. What is going to say, Elihu, in the process? Verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice, great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. No, we try to tackle the snowflakes and the stars and the sand, and we can't even imagine how it could be. How could it possibly be? For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of its strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. God, no one's going to escape the evidence. Then the beasts go into dens in the snow and cold, and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and the cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and by the breath of waters he straighteneth it. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth the bright cloud, thunder, and all of this. Oh, and it is turned around about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commanded of them upon the face of the world of the earth. What did you want to do with them, God? Verse 13. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or mercy. God, you do all of that. Verse 14. Hearken unto me, O Job, stand still and consider the wonderful works of God. Now, God, that's an awesome thing. And you're telling Job the right thing. You may not be where Job is, but at least you're saying the right thing. Okay. Now, God, now after you had Eli and them, and now after everyone's given their 2 cents worth, and now God comes in and going to say what he's going to say to Job. So, Job, I'm trying to help you in all kinds of different ways to pay attention to me when everything is done. Matthew 17:8. They didn't see Moses. They didn't see Elijah. They saw Jesus only. God only. But, no, just God. No, just God. Now, so therefore, Job 38, here's the great, great questions that God did for Job to exercise him. And in the process, I'll read just verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And he's going to test him. So therefore, going through all the different questions that Job can't answer. 100 questions going on. You can't answer, Job. Then what are you going to do since you don't know? You're going to have to trust God that does know. If you don't know, and you don't know anyone that does know, then the only one that you can go to is God who does know. Now, God, that's what he's getting across this point, sliding down in the light of our little thought here. If I can, over in chapter 38, sliding down, to verse 22. Hast thou entered, question, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? And the word treasure is just like you think, to store up something, something precious, you put it away and store it up in a box or hide it in a safe or something, you store it up, and that's what you do. So you store up. God said, listen, here's the snow, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, wonderful package. Now, Job, would you please tell me how you can figure out how many snowflakes there are? You think are in that package? Tell me how many snowflakes there are. Well, we tried to do a little one cubit foot, and we got 20 million, and that isn't even accurate. God said, listen, can you tell the hail all that I have? All that I'm going to do? We just read it in Job 37, but correction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what you do to water the earth and make it all work? Job, do you know how much is involved? No. Can you translate using our little language that we have, that the people have done? 1.1 times 158 zeros. Now, if you want something to do tonight, this afternoon, you sit down and get a good sheet of paper and put a 1 down and then write 158 zeros after it. And then you try to tell me what are you going to call that number? You can't call it a quintillion. That's American, only 18 zeros. So you can't do that. So what's 158 zeros? That'll give you something to do, and it will help you take a nap because you'll be ready after that. Now, so God says, listen, do you know? No, Job, you don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know at all. Nope. And therefore, verse 23, purpose, knowing the clouds, which I have reserved, all of that quantity you can't even understand, snowflakes, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. And just think of the Spanish Inquisition and Spanish Armada going across the English Channel, and think of all those different things in history where God used weather to just louse the enemy up. What do you do? See, well. Now God said, do you know how I do that? Can you even consider, Job? Well, no, I can't. Good, you're going to learn to trust me then, and trust me more and more and more. Therefore, over to Psalm 147. And God, again, help us. So here I can. 147, and picking up, please, in verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. We just read it in Isaiah 55. His word runneth very swiftly to accomplish, to fulfill all that he means it to be. Verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold, minus 60 degrees, etc., etc.? Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow and the waters to flow. Now, God, why are you saying all that? Because, verse 19, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they are not known. They have not known them, Praise ye the Lord. Israel, what should you know? The world doesn't know. They can only talk about a snowflake they could measure. They don't know the God who created them. And it isn't what we're trying to science and everything. All of that's wonderful. All it does is verify God's wonderful person. Now, in the process of that, God is therefore looking God to you without, what can we say? You're going to go and honor your word. What does Israel have? They don't have the snowflakes. Israel was given the word of God by way of the prophets, by way of Moses. What do we just read in Matthew 17 and 8? It's Jesus only, God said. What are the scriptures about? Matthew 24, 20, 44 and all of that, 27, 44. What, 44. What's it all about? It's about me. The scriptures speak about me, said the Lord Jesus. When it's all done, why did you give us a word? To know you. To know you who gives all the snowflakes, who did everything, who does everything. And everyone's trying to figure it out without ever going to God. The virus and all of these things are being used for the bad instead of going to God for the good. Now, having said that, over in Psalm 148, in Psalm 148, may slide down just to pick it up again, in verse 8, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, God honoring his word, God demonstrating his immense ability to do a zillion things in a zillion ways that you and I couldn't even imagine. And we're supposed to honor him and trust him for God's outworking. Not looking to anything else. And if it don't do that in your heart, for real, I'm telling you, it's just all talk. You can't go anywhere. You can't, with God, I want this for my life. And you can manage and manipulate and maneuver. People do. But you can't have the awesome reality of it. The fruitfulness of a blessed life. You can't have that without God. So here we are looking. So God, what are we going to do? You give us your word. Your word, and your word tells us that you can do the impossible. The impossible. So now, in the light of that, without going to Job 9 and all that, Job says, it's impossible in every way, shape, any way I can. I cannot clean myself. I can't do it. Well, God, how are we going to go then? And Job says that. I can't clean myself. Now, over to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 1. And Israel, remember, is supposed to be having his word. The world doesn't have his word. The world doesn't read it in the same sense. They could, but they don't. Isaiah chapter 1, picking up, please, in the diagnosis right up front of Israel. And Isaiah 1 and verse 6 directly, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, you got all kinds of problems, and none of them are healed rightly. None of them are gone. They're all there, existent. So slide along in the light of time. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You need to be clean. How am I going to get clean? Well, you can't get clean except God is trying to say, there is a way to get clean, and I am able to clean. Verse 18, they needed to what? You know it. 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I can do it. No one else can fix your heart. No one else can give you that righteousness. Not in 1,000 years. They can't do it, and you can't do it, and you're going to die in your sins. So therefore, Psalm 51. You mentioned it. And here's David. And in Psalm 51, if I may, picking up in verse 7, in the light of context again, Psalm 51, 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Snow coming down, white. What do you want to know what white looks like? Snow. And why do we like snow in one sense? Because the snow comes down and does what? It cleans the air. The snow right now, cleaning the air, coming down, down. Wow. In God's wonderful grace. Now, hang on. So, purge me with hyssop and I should be whiter than snow. Well, God, that's an awesome thing. And sliding over now to John chapter 15. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. And picking up, if I may. Oh, you'll see it, you know it. We did that, at least that far, before the plague hit us. John chapter 15, sliding, if I may, in the light of the context, verse 3. Our Lord in the upper room, remember? Now you are clean. How could he say that to Peter, James, and John, and Luke? How could you guys be clean? Through the agency. How do you make anyone clean? Through the word which I have spoken to you. That's how. I gave my word, like the snow coming down. Whatever my word is just as more efficient and fulfilling than that snow is. The snow's going to go. My word isn't. The sun will come out and it'll be 90 degrees again, maybe. It will be. Even in the tribulation, you can be sure. You may not face it, but it could be. Now, so here we are looking. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. Now, how can I be clean through thy word? Over to 1 John. Each time we do this, in one way, keep letting the pieces connect. They connect all over. God didn't tell you one thing in one book and another thing in another book. The Bible is everything in each book that he wants. And you have to read all 66 books to get a subject. Because that's how God did it. So that every time in history, God is giving the information that he wants in the light of Genesis, in the light of Revelation. In Daniel, he's giving Genesis and Revelation to Daniel in his wonderful work. Now, here's John chapter, what did I just say? In the light of that. John, in chapter 15, you are clean. First John, and chapter 1, we said, and you know it. We say it 5,000 times. 1 John, watch it. It's there, just pay attention. You're clean through the word. And that they were trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ on the cross, God did a wonderful thing. He saved us. And his shed blood cleansed us from all sin. That's what he did. In God's wonderful grace, God cleansed us from all sin. Marvelous. Now, having said that, what are we doing here? How do we stay clean? How do we keep clean? We got an old nature, word, thought, deed, everything going on, and our old nature is killing us. Except as we look to God, all of that which would germinate, like being infected, and you get the plague or something, and it goes up your arm. When the germ hits you, the germs are there. The germs can never go anywhere. The germs can't get you because this is true here and now too. Why? Because 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from Are the next two words important? Why are they important? All sin. How much am I cleansed moment by moment? All sin. All of it. And if there's any problem, over to Ephesians 5. God, it may come this afternoon, may come tonight, and may come this morning. It would be helpful. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, what do we know, God, about the wonderful truth of in Ephesians, our relationship to God, seated in the heavenlies? God, what are you going to do? Are you going to get us there? Huh? Christ gave himself for the church. He loved the church, verse 26. That he might, purpose, sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word that I have spoken unto you, John 15:3, that's how you're clean. I told you, be clean. How? My blood. I shed my blood. What for? So if you believe you're dead in sin, you're dead. And therefore, dead people don't worry about anything. You could have every plague and every disease in the world and pump it into their body. They're dead. And it won't make a bit of difference. In fact, we try to say that to people, but they just don't want to listen. Do you understand what being dead means? And remember, we said years ago, I never did get one, and I probably never will. I may get one someday. A casket. Remember, I wanted to have a casket. I got a big skeleton. A full skeleton, third skeleton with all this stuff. And I was going to put the casket up here and set the skeleton in it. And one of the wonderful things, have you 6 feet apart with a mask, and have you all walk by and take a look at yourself. Take a look at yourself in that casket. I can always tell when I hit this. That's you. Oh, no. Yes, it is. Now, God, what are you going to do? Let me finish. Verse 27. That purpose, washing of the water by the word, verse 26. Verse 27, that purpose, he might present it, the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what it's going to be. Now, God, if we don't take care of it here, we may be, 1 Corinthians 3, we may be saved as by fire, but you will be saved. All the stuff you could have had, you forfeited it. You choose not to do it. That's your business. I have my plans and what I wish for God. No, it isn't what you want for God. It's what God wants for you. A huge difference. Now, and I need to pursue that. How am I going to pursue it? Looking to God. Yielding. No fuss, no muss. no muss about it now. So therefore, verse 30, what's so important? Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now God said, that's your relationship, and that's what I want you to understand. So what I want, you're going to trust me with all your heart and pursue it. And you're going to understand that I have a wonderful plan. As the snow coming down, my word, and you want to stay with it, you aren't going to do it. You know, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us, so we can keep walking. And we can keep living, can get out of bed tonight and go to bed and live properly now. So therefore, our time is gone. Thank you. Over, if you would, we've got to jump. So we'll jump all the way over, if I can, in the light of this. Over to, where to go? Psalm 40. Over to go to Psalm 118. 138. Psalm 139. 139. Different ways to do it. This is one of them. David, help me. Psalm 139. If I can. Now, here's the snowflakes coming down. God's word. Without turning there, you know all that. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, before we hit 10, which we did. 8 and 9, what do we know? God said, my thoughts and my words are what? Higher than the heavens about you. So therefore, now put the snowflakes together. And the snowflakes are zillion, 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 zillion times zillions. And God's thoughts to you are higher than the heavens. Now, 139, here's David telling you, you can't escape the presence of God, Psalm 139. So we go to verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts. There's the same. Are thy thoughts? Thy thoughts are higher than the heavens. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more than a number than the sand. That keeps you, David, you certainly got it this time. When I awake, I am still with thee. Wow, God. There's no way, God, your thoughts to me, about me, are higher than the heavens. Your thoughts cannot be numbered, and your thoughts are, you cannot even consider counting. So the thoughts that God has to the human heart that's trusting him are God's thoughts. What about God's thoughts? He's the one that makes every snowflake different. He's the one that makes all the sand by the zillion, zillion, zillion. And he thinks those thoughts to you. So when you see the snow, all the flakes, God thinks of you more than all those flakes coming down. And God, that's why we trust him directly. We don't mess around. No, and that's what we stay excited. We stay rightly healthy. That's what we keep got to have. You can't just sit. You got to have some exercise. Be exercised. What a difference. Anyway, I got to quit. Appreciate. Hope you got a little bit. It's snowing. And we're going to have you go and get into the snow in some form or fashion. And make sure your windows are clean. If they're not, we have window cleaners. Do we have window cleaners that can come? And come clean your window. We have a big steel shovel to clean your windows. You know, so. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness. And God, we're just going to stop. I don't want to disturb anything. I just want my thought to be understood in my little head. God, your thoughts to me about me, for me, even right now, are more than the sand of the sea, more than the snow falling from the sky. And God, there's no, I just put away and count, I count it like Paul, oh wretched man that I am. What kind of thought could I have that could compete with you? God, none, none whatsoever. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Give safety in the highway. Help us in every way. And God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.